And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buehr.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this Malort edition as the bane of Luke's existence gets to come back into play as the Gophers travel down to Chicago and actually over to Wrigley Field, the home of Fly the W, the Chicago Cubs, to take on a 5-5 Northwestern team. My only question for you on this entire podcast to preview the upcoming game on Saturday, Luke, is I think we've discussed it before, but have you ever tried Malort?
Still haven't. And I was in Chicago and I was at a restaurant that had numerous cocktails with Malort. Didn't try it.
Something I learned this week is that Gopher Puck Lives and former guest on this podcast, Eric Vigo, for some ungodly reason, Luke, has copious amounts of Malort in terms of shooters available for anybody who wants to find him. So for those of you heading down to Chicago, it is the local delicacy. If you've never tried it, there will be any bar you go to in Wrigleyville or wherever you're going to be partaking in some pregame, postgame beverages. Just try it. Report back. Come into the Spotify comments. Come into Gopher Illustrated. Leave your thoughts, because as someone who discovered Jepson's Malort here over the summer, it is a very unique botanical experience, Mr. Buehr.
Yeah, Chicago's a great city. Might I suggest, though, instead of going for the deep dish pizza, Chicago has some just fantastic tavern-style pizza. I'll maybe even tweet out some of my favorites. I don't love deep dish myself. I'm more of a New York style. Maybe if I'm going to do something deep, maybe Detroit style. But there are some great tavern pizza places. I have a couple lists. I'll try and find them here during the episode. But there's one that's actually long walking distance from Wrigleyville there that I would highly recommend. But if you're in the area, definitely maybe check that out.
As the resident member of the big back community of this podcast, I can assure you why I have such a thick back is because I have consumed more pizza then I think 99% of people listening to this podcast. It is the one thing I can put away very, very easily and not think about it. And that has been the thing I have learned from asking around, because there's a lot of Gopher football personnel that have Chicago ties, is just to what you said. I've been told that the tourists go there and get deep dish, but the real gems around the Chicago area pizza-wise are in the thin crust or the tavern style. So I can assure you both Friday and Saturday night, Luke, my back's going to get a little bit bigger partaking in something like that.
All right. One of my favorite in the Chicago area, and this is, I believe, walkable from Wrigleyville, would be Pat's. This is 2679 North Lincoln Ave in Chicago. It's paper thin. They claim it's like 7 layers of paper thick. Very crispy. My wife has been there maybe a couple times. Definitely recommend. It's a neighborhood joint. Head over there and get a pie. They are not paying me to say this. This is literally just my feelings. So.
Yeah, I'm excited. Again, it's the last road game of the year. I'd be the first to tell you, as someone who's been to every road game, I know how the results have played out, and we'll get into those results. But the end is in sight. They're 6-4. It is a very winnable game against a team that has not won at Wrigley Field in 6 different attempts, which is quite the stat in itself. But just like any other year, Luke, even though Pat Fitzgerald is not currently coaching the Northwestern Wildcats, from watching them on tape and looking at them statistically, it's like he never left.
Yeah, I feel like the identity really hasn't changed for that team. I fear them more than almost any program in the Big Ten, just for the way that they play, and they are always in the games and they're waiting for you to make that mistake. And man, they've been good. And in this David Braun era, kudos to him to kind of keeping that identity intact for Northwestern. Ryan, though, we should get to injuries. We're in late November. No one in college football is feeling good at this juncture. But what are some players that we should be keeping an eye on both sides of this football for this game?
On the Minnesota side of things, I think the most important thing is the guy I talked to today, Darius Taylor, who spoke with the media for the first time since he was injured the second time around, and he returned last week for the Oregon game, led them in rushing attempts, led them in rushing yards. led them in targets in the passing game. We asked him today, how do you feel? And he said he feels great, and I believe him. So his availability for this game, I think, is going to play a massive part in Minnesota's offensive success and then overall team success if they are able to move the football. Now, you saw against Oregon, they got Logan Loya back. I think Kenrick Lanier is, unfortunately for him, still in the concussion protocol from that, what was it, the Iowa game?
Yeah, again, unbelievable that, I mean, I guess they called it a penalty, but yeah, that it's still just a malicious target. It just didn't need to happen.
No. And so I know Nathan Roy left the game a little bit. I believe he's just going to be just fine defensively. There was a tweet that was put out earlier this week, and I say this not wanting to give it a ton of light, but I figure it's worth mentioning that one of the coaches back in Texas at a specific high school said that Mike Gerald's going to get his first career start at corner, which tells me Zaquan Bryan, who did not finish the game against Oregon, Minnesota starting outside corner, is likely very much up in the air for his availability. Now, they've been playing Jayonte McMillan on the outside, but looks like the redshirt freshman from the Texas area, Mike Gerald, he may be getting his first opportunity. And then your guy from Woodbury, our side of town, our side of the river, Joey Gerlach, is unfortunately out for the season, which means we saw the pride of Detroit Lakes, Mason Carrier, as a redshirt freshman, play, I think, 12, 15 snaps defensively, filling in as that Sam linebacker. So like you said, no one's healthy at this stage, and Northwestern, on the flip side of things, I mean, they're feeling it the same way Minnesota is. One of their best defensive players, Aiden Hubbard, is day-to-day, and he exited early in the Michigan game. He's a starter for them on the defensive line with a lower body injury, and he did not return. Now, David Braun, the Northwestern head coach, said earlier this week that he is day-to-day, so I think even if he does play, he's certainly not going to be at 100%. You've also got a couple of guys defensively for Northwestern, such as Richie Haggerty, Damon Walters, guys who play if they're healthy. Braun called them week to week and, quote, not promising for this week. Now, the other thing I would tell you that my Northwestern correspondent, Andrew Little from the Daily Northwestern, passed to me was running back is going to be a little interesting because they have had their starting running back, Cam Porter, go down with a season-ending injury. And so they're going to be very banged up there on the back end. They are very much a north-south type of running style for Northwestern, but the injuries, at least impacting this game, appear to be on the defensive side for Northwestern.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. On the season, the Gophers are averaging 22.7 points per game. Northwestern is averaging 19.6. Minnesota ranks 14th in the Big Ten in scoring offense, where Northwestern ranks 7th. In terms of total offense and yardage, the Gophers are averaging 301 yards per game, where Northwestern is giving up 341. This ranks Minnesota 17th and Northwestern 11th. In terms of rushing offense, the Gophers are averaging 105 yards per game. Northwestern is averaging giving up 150 yards per game. And then in terms of total passing offense, Minnesota is averaging 196 yards per game, and Northwestern is averaging giving up 191 yards per game. In terms of the turnover margin, Minnesota is a plus 3 on the season with 11 takeaways and 8 giveaways, where Northwestern is a very even, after last game where they had 5 takeaways, 15 giveaways and 15 takeaways. One thing I also wanted to note, Ryan, is time of possession. Minnesota ranks 11th in the Big Ten with 30 minutes and 17 seconds, but Northwestern actually beats them at 32 minutes and 8 seconds. So generally speaking, these are two teams that I think are somewhat pretty similar, and I think you'll talk about that. And both are actually very good when it comes to penalties. Neither are a very penalized team. We'll talk a little bit more with some advanced stats later, but what do you see are the keys to success for the Gophers to find a victory on Saturday in Wrigley?
Well, no one wants to hear me say it again, but we're going to find out which members of the Minnesota Moving Company want to get off the bus. But I think the thing for me is, you're going to be going from last Friday night. You maybe played the most athletic defense in the Big Ten in Oregon to what may be the least athletic defense in the Big Ten. Last week it was about Jimmies and Joes. This week it's going to be about X's and O's, where Northwestern is not the fleetest of foot defensively, but what they are very stout. I mean, you look at their guys, they're going to be in their gaps. They're big run stoppers. They want to push you and be physical north and south. I mean, that's why the Northwestern defense is what it is this year, is because they are very physical and they're very sound. Now, how do you combat that if you're the Gophers? Well, my plea to the offensive coordinator this week is going to be something that Derek Burns has talked about, you've talked about, I've talked about now for many weeks. If you know that you're going to be struggling with knockback, which if we've learned anything about this offensive line, and for those of you who did not listen to the Oregon breakdown, I don't blame you. But Luke, do you remember the words of Derek Burns in describing the physicality of this Gopher offensive line this year?
He said something to the extent of, this was one of the least physical offensive lines in the PJ Fleck era.
It's a big statement in itself. I say it, no one listens. Derek Burns says that everyone listens. So I hope everyone listens to that statement. So how do you mitigate that against what is a very physical front seven? I would run as much gap scheme as you could comfortably run as an entire offense in this game with Darius Taylor and Femi Ajiboy. You're going to try and get them and put them in spots. And the thing with gap is it's either going to be 3-yard loss because somebody's going to miss a block potentially with pullers. And if somebody blitzes into where the pullers are, it's going to be a miss. But if you can get the pullers in space, and I think about one of Oregon's first touchdown runs against the Gophers where the second puller is leading into the hole and he has no one to hit. If you can actually execute the blocks up front, that's where Darius Taylor and Femi Ajiboy have a bigger chance then of hitting a 10 to 15 yard run, which Lord knows this offense needs a lot of different things to get going. But explosivity, if that is a word, is one of the ones that they need the most. So you have to keep Drake Lindsay upright, because I don't know what else Greg Harbaugh can do but call a 7-man protection against 4 men, and then the 4 men get home within 2.5 seconds. And I sit here and rub my brow and say, what else do you want people to do? But that's the thing for this game, is last week against Oregon, they were just flat out better athletes than you. The X's and O's, they mattered. And you saw Harbaugh at least try schematically to throw everything at them. This week, it's very, very different. They are going to be in their same defense. It's a 4-3 front or 4-2-5, depending upon how they want to go at it. And you have to just take what the defense gives you. They are not a defense that has a lot of busts, because they know what their jobs are and they are very sound. Now, if you can win a one-on-one on the outside, I know, a novel concept, novel theory, you're going to have the ability to then take the shot. But this week, it is just about executing. If you can just execute in this game, and Drake Lindsay can execute in zone coverage, and they do a very good job of disguising pre-snap versus post-snap, and you can get guys going different directions, if you can find green, and if you can go into the outfield where Luke's favorite Chicago Cubs outfielder, Sammy Sosa, used to roam, there is going to be explosives there to be had, but you have to execute up front first.
Yeah, Northwestern is a defense. They don't seem to give up a ton of explosive plays if you look at some of the advanced stats. But one thing that stuck out to me is that on CFP graphs, there's this Minnesota offense versus Northwestern defense towards the bottom, Ryan. One thing that stuck out rushing wise, they rank 136 at missed tackle rate when rushing the ball. That isn't particularly good. Minnesota hasn't been exactly great at making people miss either. But to your point, I think that's where you can maybe manufacture explosive plays. And then in terms of passing, Northwestern ranks 9th in yards after catch. They're not giving up a lot. So maybe in the run game is where you're going to see some of those explosives. They are pretty good at getting pressure, but they're not great at getting sacks. Their sack EPA is actually pretty low, and they're susceptible to scrambling. But Ryan, as you know, that's not exactly
as many things. Fleet of foot is not one. The other one I will add is Northwestern is also, and this kind of surprised me when I looked it up, the worst third down defense in Big Ten play. They have allowed Big Ten opponents to convert 52.8% of their third downs. Why? Because they're constantly in third and short essentially. Yeah. So if the Gophers are going to sustain drives like they did last week, 7 of 16 on third down, that rate has to remain right around there.
Yeah, the last thing that I was going to bring up, third and fourth down success rate. They're 131st in the country. The other good stat for them is that their points per quality drive, they rank 33rd. So my assumption is that you know it's going to be hard to be able to get touchdowns. So when you're in that red zone, or as the Gophers like to call the green zone, you're going to have to capitalize. That is going to be crucial to being able to find a victory.
In a game with a 40 total touchdowns and not field goals is going to be the theme for both offenses.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Anything else you want to touch on offense? Otherwise, we can catch a quick break and then we will talk about the defense.
Take me wherever you want, you fuzzy little man, Peach.
Ryan, I don't know if you noticed, but all of a sudden it's already November, and you know what that time is. It's open enrollment time. So while you're thinking about life insurance, or I shouldn't say life insurance, health insurance, looking at maybe making a change there, you know, this is a good time to also think about your auto, home, life, all maybe your ATV insurance, boat insurance, and the Burns Insurance Agency can help you shop during that open enrollment period.
I mean, absolutely. And that's where the independent insurance agent himself, that is the Burns Insurance Agency, located in lovely downtown Oakdale, Minnesota. For myself as a client, I've talked about this story before, but we had a hailstorm come through here in Roseville. And initially when the adjuster came out, he told me to go shove it, that there wasn't enough damage. Well, guess what? My insurance agent came out with our own roofing people, took the quality photos, said, nah, we're not going to shove it. And I got a brand new roof out of it for only my deductible. And it's because my insurance agent puts in the extra effort. You're not just a number on a spreadsheet. Or even, I love to tell the story last year of Austin coming up to me on Oak Street before the Gopher game and saying, hey, he and Tina, they saved you $700. Appreciate it. Well, he found me here just a few weeks ago. Guess what? They switched him to a different insurance here in 2025, saved him $1,000. On his home and auto. That is the beauty of an independent insurance agent. They're not loyal to anyone except their client, which is you. So if you want to give them a shout today, shoot them an email, bill@insurancebyburns.com, or check them out online, insurancebyburns, all one word, .com.
All right, we're back. Let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, Northwestern is averaging 21.9 points. That ranks them 15th in the Big Ten. Minnesota is giving up 23.6 points per game. That ranks them 13th in the Big Ten in terms of total offense. Northwestern is averaging 340 yards of total offense, which is 12th. Minnesota is giving up 331 yards, which is 9th. In terms of rushing offense, Northwestern is averaging 169 yards on the ground, which ranks them 6th. And Minnesota, conversely, is giving up 115, which ranks them 8th in the Big Ten. In terms of total passing offense, Northwestern is averaging 171 yards, which is 16th in the Big Ten, where Minnesota is giving up, 216 yards of passing offense, which ranks them 12th. We already talked a little bit about the turnover differential and the time of possession. In the end, I don't think this is a great Northwestern offense, but conversely speaking, the Gophers on the road haven't been a great defense.
No, they have not. I think where I'm at for this one is with Northwestern, they want to be a shotgun RPO type of offense. It's going to remind a lot of people of the early years of Kirk Sciarca. The question is, they want to be that, Northwestern does, and that's where you have narrative street member Martez Lewis, former Golden Gopher offensive lineman, starting at right tackle for them, who was beat out last year by Quinn Carroll and... who was the right guard? Was it Ashton Beers last year?
I think Ashton Beers, because Greg Johnson was at center.
Yes. So Ashton Beers and Quinn Carroll beat out Martez Lewis, and then he transferred in the offseason to Northwestern. He's their starting right tackle. So Anthony Smith versus Martez Lewis. We're going to see if that looks like Eddie Gordado versus a prime Lou Ford. How's your obscure Twins references?
Lou Ford, I think, played left field, right?
He did. Are you more of a Denny Hocking man, maybe?
He was more of a utility guy. Cavage,
Christian Guzman.
Shortstop.
Can I interest you in Matthew Lecroy, if I'm going to keep up the baseball references?
Catcher?
To call Matthew Lecroy a catcher, I think, would be doing a disservice to the catcher position, even though he did catch games. My man was definitely a DH first.
All right, whatever.
So we're kind of where I was going with this is Preston Stone is the Northwestern quarterback. He's a transfer in from SMU. I'm not a Preston Stone guy. I'm not going to be on this podcast trying to tell you he is the next coming of Mike Kafka.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't mattered for opposing pass defenses against the Gophers on the road this year. Opposing quarterbacks against the Golden Gopher defense away from Huntington Bank Stadium this fall are completing 75% of their passes with 9 touchdowns, 0 picks for an average of 265 yards per game. Now, if Preston Stone is going to be throwing the football, he is going to be targeting one guy and essentially one guy only. And his name is Griffin Wilde. He is a transfer from South Dakota State. Luke would tell you go Jackrabbits. I would say the Bison would have something to say about that. But why I say he only essentially targets Wilde is friend of the podcast, Parker Fleming, who does great work on CFB graphs. He put out some tweets earlier, and Griffin Wilde, especially on third down, is targeted more than any other player on any other FBS team. He's got like something crazy where if Northwestern is going to pass the ball on third down, he gets it like 45% of the time, which is an outrageous target share.
That sounds like even more egregious than Daniel Jackson last year.
It is.
Or 2 years ago, I'm sorry.
My point here is like, yeah, he has been targeted also the fourth most times of any FBS player on first down. When they throw the football and they don't, and if Minnesota doesn't know where number, I think he's 17 is, I mean, what are we doing here? But now I would imagine that Danny Collins knows that. I would imagine that he knows that this is an offense that when they do target Wilde too, it's not just a slant on the backside of an RPO. It's also a lot of 50-50 balls on the 70 plus targets that Griffin Wilde has, and they will move him anywhere from the outside to in the slot. The A dot on those, Luke, is an egregious 14 yards per target. Like these things are being chucked down the field. Now, if you're going to be throwing the ball that deep that often, that's where the issues come in for Preston Stone, the Northwestern quarterback, where I would tell you no Big Ten quarterback has more turnover worthy plays this season than Mr. Stone. He also has got 6 fumbles this fall. So if you are going to do the impossible, which for the Gopher defense, turn over somebody on the road. Now, they were able to get a takeaway last week, but you have one takeaway in 4 games on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're facing a quarterback that has the most turnover-worthy plays of all Big Ten quarterbacks. And I remember watching the Michigan-Northwestern game last week on my plane back to Minneapolis, and my guy likes to just chuck it at times where he should not chuck it, or he gets loosey-goosey with the ball in the pocket. So whether it is Anthony Smith, Carter Mens, Devin Eastern, pick your favorite Gopher pass rusher, attacking the football is something that I would do. Now, here's the thing about it too, though, and it's something that Danny Collins talked about with me today, is Fleck made the comment on Monday that he felt like the defense has been pressing to get the turnover.
Yes.
And the guys are reaching.
I agree with this.
I mean, we've spent episodes talking about how we all agree with it. But for the head coach to actually say something of substance such as that, which I believe is true, is very interesting. And so I asked Danny Collins about that today, and I said, how do you fix that? Guys are pressing. And he essentially answered it along the lines of, and I won't give the direct quote because it's not in front of me, but you have to obsess about the football, but you also just have to do your job.
Yeah.
If you just do your job, and he referenced Northwestern, where he goes, Northwestern was having the same issues as us defensively, and then bam, they did their job and got 5 takeaways last week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just are in the spots you're supposed to be in, and you think that Danny Collins' scheme can be sound, Well, then Preston Stone is liable to throw you the football, which in this game, the Gophers have to win the take give if you're going to, I guess, technically pull off a road upset, because the Gophers are a 3-point underdog in this one. But it's just so important that this defense just, I almost think they have to relax, where they know that the offense is struggling. I would tell you the defense has also been struggling these last few games against Michigan State and Oregon specifically. I think they've given up 470 yards on average between the two. Like, in the last time they took the field, they didn't force a punt against Dante Moore. But they have some talented players. You just have to take and give this weekend that Northwestern is a death by a thousand cuts. But they are not an explosive offense outside of Griffin Wilde if he gets open. It's they want to go 10, 12 plays down the field and score a touchdown. So you just have to do your job. And I always think about the thing Joe Rossi used to say, that the more plays that offenses have to be on the field in college football with these 18 to 23-year-olds, the more liable they are to put the ball in harm's way. And you just have to be ready to capitalize on that. And that's going to be a theme for this Wrigley Field contest.
All right, just a couple things in terms of advanced stats and observations. At least the stats seem to not indicate that the quarterback's going to run much, Ryan. Can you confirm?
I would tell you that Preston Stone, at least according to Pro Football Focus, Luke, that's an astute observation, he has not scrambled for positive yards in any of the last three Northwestern games.
Yeah, and you know, to your point with the RPO, you know, their pressure rate and sack EPA is actually really good. That's something that Minnesota has been good at. But with this kind of quick game, I wouldn't expect a lot of sacks from the Gopher, and probably not a lot of pressures either. Ironically, this is a team in Northwestern that, much like the Gophers, the yards before contact is not very good, but the yards after contact is actually pretty decent. They rank 83rd in yards before contact and 15th in yards after contact. Ryan, they are, though, 113th in the country in short yard and goal line success rate, so not particularly good there. That's actually somewhere Minnesota is actually pretty good, where they're 22nd in the country in success rate in short yard line and goal line situations. Now, at the end of the day, to your point, you're going to have to be able to force turnovers, but just do your job and don't give up the explosive plays. I think that's probably one of the more important things, because at the end of the day, Northwestern just doesn't have a great quality points per quality drive. They rank 122nd, Ryan. Minnesota isn't great at 82 in terms of defending points per quality drive, but if you don't give up quality drives, they're not going to score. So, yeah, at the end of the day, you got to limit explosives, and that's something this defense, especially on the road, hasn't been able to do.
Well, you even think about the last time these two teams played in the state of Illinois.
Oh, right.
I mean, that's the infamous, the Gophers have a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter, blow it, lose in overtime. I will also note, before we get to my keys to the game here, the last winner of this game, the last four times, has scored at least 31 points. So you think about a game with a 40-39 over-under as we record this 72 hours out. I know that it's Wrigley Field. I know they just played on it last week. The playing surface is certainly something to monitor and watch, because I think that grass is going to be quite high. I think it's not going to be the greatest of surfaces that you'll see the Gophers play on. I think about the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. I think about the Pinstripe Bowl. Neither of those games had a ton of points in it from what I remember. It's going to be something to note as we continue to go forward, Luke.
All right. So, you know, last time, we'll get into the facts and figures now, but last time we recorded, you predicted kind of doom and gloom in terms of the weather. It looks like it's largely been all right in Chicago. It doesn't look like it's rained a ton. It doesn't look like it should rain leading up to the game. Actually, on game day, it looks like it's going to be partly cloudy. It doesn't look like there'll be a lot of wind around 11 a.m., probably about 47 going to a high of close to 50 degrees. Should be a pretty decent fall day for football. It shouldn't be the Ryan Field games of the past where it's like sneeting out, right? So that seems like a positive for all those traveling.
That was the worst stadium. Like, I think about going to Autzen last week. That was a fantastic experience. Ryan Field was always one that I dreaded. Like, there'd only be, for those of you who made the trip, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be, I think the last, that 2023 game, I'm not kidding when I say there may have been 10,000 people there.
Sure.
Maybe. Now, for the novelty that is Wrigley Field this weekend, I expect a pretty dang near full house. I'm also glad you brought up the weather, because as it was conveyed to me by numerous people, we're not meteorologists. Stop trying to play them. I'd tell you that person to go find yourself some joy if you're yelling at podcast dudes trying to look at the weather.
Also, I'm just reading a website. I'm just reading a website. It's not me.
I know it's not you. Don't get me started on people this week. I can tell we're near the end of the season, and I know every fan base feels this way, but it's just like, well, what could have been? Don't get me started right now. But yes.
All right.
72 hours out, the weather actually looks a lot better than it could for a late November game as we sit here in time, and you mentioned it. Okay. It's going to be like 47 degrees. And the most important thing here, wind. It does not look like a lot of wind in the Windy City.
Yep.
So 47 degrees sun. That is as good as you can ask for at this stage of the season.
All right. In the total history of Northwestern playing Minnesota, Minnesota leads the total series 25-22-2. As you mentioned, Ryan, Minnesota lost the last meeting, and they've only lost one. So there isn't a streak beyond one. That last meeting was a 37-34 loss in overtime. We don't need to revisit that one. PJ Fleck is 4-4 all time against Northwestern. David Braun is 1-0 against Minnesota. On the season, Minnesota is 6-4, 4-3 in the Big Ten. Northwestern is 5-5, 3-4 in the Big Ten. I should note that much like Minnesota, their losses have come against very quality teams, including Tulane. This game will be on BTN. It'll be 11 a.m. kick on November 22nd. On BTN will be Jack Kaiser, Matt Millen, and Sydney Supple on the radio network on KFAN. It'll be Mike Grimm, Daryl Thompson, Justin Gard, and the whole crew there. In terms of the betting, Ryan, currently, RIP to ESPN Bet. I'm still going to go with that for the remainder of the season because they won't be shutting it down for a little bit. Currently, Northwestern is a 3.5-point favorite with the over-under of 40.5. It opened, Ryan, at a 3.5 spread in favor of Northwestern, but it opened as a 41.5, so it's been bet down to a 40.5. We went through the weather. I think that's all I got in terms of facts and figures. I should note this game will be at Wrigley Field. I think one other important thing at Wrigley Field is you mentioned it's natural grass. It claims the capacity is 38,147. I am going to be fascinated to see what the announced crowd is and if it actually is that's the baseball number or if that's the football number or how they come to that determination. I have a feeling it's probably less. But that's just a gut feel. So Ryan, what do you got for your keys to this game?
I think I'm going to keep it quick this week, where for the Gopher offense, tell your offensive line that they've got to show up here. Where I think about, I want more than anything this offense to start fast, but if the offense is going to start fast, they can't have one tackle false start on the first play, on the actual first play that is counted from scrimmage. The other tackle gets blasted 4 yards into the backfield, which hits the tight end, which instead of him coming across the line of scrimmage wide open to the flats for potentially probably a first down, it's a 4 yard gain. And then there's a sack on third down on a 4-man pressure. This is a good pass rush at times for Northwestern. They are not going to beat you with twitch. They're going to beat you with power. So Minnesota's got to set a wide base. They've got to be able to protect Drake Lindsey. And then Darius Taylor has to get going. And they tried to get Darius Taylor going last week. It's why he led them in targets along with rushing attempts. I think if I'm Greg Harbaugh, I am trying to find every creative way, whether that's with as much gap scheme as we've seen up front, to flexing Darius Taylor out wide against a Northwestern linebacker and saying to Darius Taylor, who the former high school wide receiver, say, go beat him one-on-one. And that's kind of where I'm at with this whole thing, is feature Darius Taylor as creatively as you possibly can. We saw Coy Parrish play 5 offensive snaps. I wouldn't be opposed to just saying, hey, Coy, We're going to have you start in the backfield, motion you out wide against a Northwestern linebacker. Go be the pride of Esco. I mean, I think you got to do some unique things if you're going to be able to score points in this game. First one to 20 wins. Now, defensively, I'm going to continue to scream into the ether about it. But while the Gopher staff and the Gopher players are pressing for takeaways, they've got to find a way to get multiple. I mean, that's just kind of the crux of this whole thing is you've got one takeaway in your last four games on the road. You've got one takeaway in your last four games in general. And if this team is going to play complementary Big Ten football, which they've really struggled to do the entire season. And I've had plenty of Gopher Illustrated members this week tell me that stop using Jekyll and Hyde because that insinuates that there has been a really good to this team, which outside of one half against Nebraska, there really hasn't been. I'd say that's a fair criticism, and I'm going to take that. As Luke Buehr often tells me, put on your leather vest, okay? And we're just going to move on with it, which means just play normal sound football. And if you do, Preston Stone's going to put the ball in harm's way. And that means either John Nestor, Coy Parrish, Aiden Goosby, Kerry Brown, Mike Gerald, you got to have the ability to actually go up and take away the ones that they throw to you. Now for the Gopher linebackers and the front seven in general, if they're going to try and RPO you, what does that mean, Luke? Where should the Gopher defense get their hands up into?
Into the passing lanes.
And then you can get some deflections for your secondary, and then maybe you get some takeaways that way. They want to be 4 yards in a cloud of dust. The Wildcat offense does, and then they want to hit a slant or a deep shot behind you. Stop the run, make Preston Stone beat you, and when he puts the ball in harm's way, catch the ones they throw to you or fumble to you. And then finally, it's that 78%. I mean, we saw last week in Oregon, the missed tackle battle definitely went the way of Oregon. Too many guys out of position for the Gophers. The take give, the Gophers have actually been, and say what you will about the Gopher offense, they have been one of the best in the Big Ten at not giving the ball away.
Yes.
It is Ohio State, Minnesota, and Indiana for the three teams, I believe, in conference play that have given the ball away the least, which might surprise some people. But Drake Lindsey and these tailbacks have largely, outside of the Iowa game for Drake, been taking care of the football. They got to do that again here at Wrigley Field, and then it's explosive plays. I mean, Darius Taylor, or maybe we get some Malachi Coleman, and then defensively, takeaways, man. Find a way to get takeaways, and you're going to find a way to win and fly the W.
All right. I do have to correct an error that I made in the facts and figures, Ryan. They've been playing football against Northwestern, they being Minnesota, since 1892. So that record was actually the series at Northwestern where Minnesota leads 25-22-2 ties. The overall series in history has Minnesota with 56 wins, 37 losses, and 5 ties. So I want to make sure I corrected that. I just looked at the wrong line.
I may be honest. I may never forgive you, and I may never trust another thing that comes out of you on this podcast.
All right. Another thing, I want to take you back in time, Ryan, real quick. Do you remember the game? It's tied 17-7, October 11th in 2014, with 7 minutes and 32 seconds left against Northwestern. The Gophers end up winning 24-17, and do you remember why?
In 2014?
Yes. I can hear you typing. Come on.
I have no idea.
Jalen Myrick returned a kickoff 100 yards to help Minnesota take the lead.
What was that? The last time they had a kick return touchdown, but
I don't know, but I just wanted to make
sure. You know who led the team in sacks that day was Michael Omefala. I don't know that his name has been uttered. I say this and now it's going to find his way to Michael Omefala and they're going to be like, "Hey, yo, why am I catching a stray?" Which I get it. But like, yeah. Golly. I'll say this too. I mean, I know you're saying it in jest.
I'd say it in jest at you only, basically.
But like, can you imagine if this team could actually do anything in the return game? And I feel so, I'm going to continue to say it until the chickens come home to roost here.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they actually blocked for Coy Parrish? Well,
I feel like we actually have to have an off-season discussion on this. Like,
what's the discussion? They suck at blocking.
Well, they suck at it, but we have to go back to like, So why? Did they always suck at blocking like this, or is this like a recent phenomenon? Because it's been bad the last few years, but like you and I remember, you know, early in the tenure, there was Antoine Winfield was pretty good at returning punts. I mean, he was also just a really good player. You've got Demetrius Douglas had that punt return for a touchdown. How did this deteriorate? Did it deteriorate over time, or has this always been a problem, you know, right in front of our eyes that we've just been missing? Right.
I would love nothing more. My pants would legitimately come off in the Wrigley Field press box if Coy Parrish gets execution in front of him.
Yeah. Okay, Andy Greeter, if there is a kick returner, punt return touchdown, I want photographic evidence that Ryan Burns' pants were off in the press box. Please.
I will take a photo of my milky white hamstring from the press box as I'm being escorted into the friendly confines of Wrigleyville, if that is the case. That is my word to all of you thousands of listeners.
I have never wanted the Gophers to have a kick or punt return touchdown more in my life than I do this week.
No one needs to see my dancer legs. I can assure you, my wife doesn't even want to see my dancer legs.
All right, let's get this thing back on the rails. All right, Ryan, on the season, you are 8-2 straight up against in terms of picking games. You are 4-5 against the over under, and you are 7-2 against the spread. My man, you are in the wrong line of work. I am 8-2 in terms of picking games. I am 5-5 against the over-under, and I am 4-5 against the spread. I am going to keep my day job. A reminder that Northwestern is a 3.5-point favorite on a 40.5 over-under. Ryan, I'm going to give this one to you first.
So let's give a couple more facts. Is Northwestern in the state of Illinois this season where they have played games is +5 in the take give. The Gophers are -4 on the road. I mentioned it already too, but the Gophers have been outscored 100. I believe it's 152-33 on the road this season. I would also tell you that the Gophers are #1 per Big Ten game in the fewest amount of penalty yards. Northwestern is #3. So I think that's something where both teams are very disciplined. Something to note. We talk about my pants coming off in the press box. Well, Coy Parrish is going to get some opportunities because Northwestern ranks 2nd-to-last in touchback percentage against Big Ten teams. We're going to see if the Eskimo can get some things going. And then I will also tell you, Northwestern has never won a game at Wrigley Field. They are 0-6. PJ Fleck in baseball stadiums, the 21 Great Bowl and the 22 yes. Great Bowl, 2-0. So here's where I'm going to be, is I think Minnesota's got the better athletes. I think Minnesota's tired of hearing about the road stigma. I think Northwestern is cursed to an extent at Wrigley Field, which I'm sure many Cubs fans felt for so many generations. That's how you find a way to lose a football game in which last week against Michigan, they were +5 in the take give and lost. I mean, that is just an absolutely brutal way to win, or excuse me, to lose in that aspect. So I believe in the curse of Wrigley, and I'm going to tell you that a late Drake Lindsey to Jameson Gears connection gets Brady Denneberg onto the field. He walks off Northwestern like he is Jason Kubel at the Metrodome, and for a second straight week, Northwestern loses in a heartbreaker. Gophers win straight up. 23-21, that would be an over, and that is a Gophers cover.
All right, 23-21 for the win for the Gophers. I think this is one of the few times we're going to pick separately, Ryan. The Gophers have not been good on the road. Northwestern is the epitome of disciplined, typically. If they can kind of break their own streak and not turn the ball over like they did last week against Michigan, I think that Northwestern is going to win this game 20-17. That will be a Minnesota cover and an under.
I think the take give is such a big part of this game.
Mm-hmm.
It is every game. I understand that's why it's a part of Flex 78%. But like I said, it's a Gopher offense that has protected the ball largely. And now they're going to be facing a Northwestern offense that has put the ball in harm's way a little bit. Now, can they capitalize on that? We're going to find out. But it just feels like a game to me where I understand the line is what the line is. And I know I also had some upset people being like, stop using the Vegas spread as a data point. Well, I just use it in terms of, I understand Vegas needs money to come in on both sides. So maybe it's not the accurate representation. But Luke, you and I talked about in the pre-production meeting. I mean, you look at CFP graphs. It's technically a neutral site game, but it's like 60-40 Northwestern based on the stats. But I don't even know if the stats really tell you the story of Minnesota this season. I'd argue that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So if Minnesota does not turn the football over, I think they win. If they turn it over, I think it's going to be tough for them to win. But you won't know until you go to that 47-degree Wrigleyville day. And again, we'll see if the pants come off, Luke. We'll see if they do.
All right. Rutgers is going to travel to Columbus to take on number one Ohio State, a 54 over under. And Ohio State is favored by 31.5, Ryan.
How many yards can Ryan Day put up against Rob Smith? What is, I'll set the over under at 500.
There's
a real possibility. I'll also remind you that Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith don't play in this game. They're banged up like any other player has.
I'll take the under, but I think they'll have defensive scores.
So you're all right. I'm going to take over on the 500 total yards against what is the corpse of Rob Smith's defense.
All right. Number 15 USC travels to Eugene to take on number 7 Oregon. This is a 2:30 kick on CBS. Over under 59.5, Oregon by 9.5.
I'm going to say Oregon wins, USC covers, but this is a banged up USC team coming out of that Iowa game. I know that they had some guys go down in that one. And I think Oregon's a wagon, boys. I know that USC needs this to stay in the picture. It makes things a little bit more complicated for Oregon, even though I still think they would be in if that's the case. Mm-hmm. But I don't see Oregon losing in Eugene.
All right. Michigan travels to Kinnick to take on Iowa. 2:30 kick on FS1. 42.5 over under, with Iowa as a 16.5 point favorite.
Poor Joe Rossi.
Yeah. I wonder if, like, in some ways, if someone is going to stop a, run first quarterback, maybe it's a Joe Rossi defense, a bend,
success.
A bend but don't break. My problem is that Iowa offensive line is just too good, and I don't know that there was enough. If anybody was going to scheme it up, and Iowa just couldn't score touchdowns, boy, Joe Rossi might be your guy.
What's the get-in price for this game between an 0-7 Big Ten team and Iowa, who is 6-4?
According to here on ESPN, $13.
Boy, and
do you know you can get some pretty good tickets to go for sporting events at eventure eventshure.com, Ryan?
I'm so glad you brought that up organically there.
And I know.
I wish DTA would promote it on social media.
I honestly, you could have gotten into like the Gopher women's basketball game the other night for $10 with parking. Like, let's go. That is a good way. If you have tickets that you can't use, please consider, you can donate them or share them to Eventure, and a portion of the proceeds is going to go to support DTA. So if you have those tickets, life is busy now, Ryan. It's the holidays. Help create a fan experience for someone else. Yeah. And you can get in cheaper than that $13 ticket price. I'll tell you that much.
I love that for all of our listeners.
I know. Okay. Number 18, Michigan takes on Maryland in College Park. This is a 3 p.m. kick on BTN. The over-under is 45.5. Michigan is a 13.5 point favorite.
Here's my bold call of the weekend is I think Maryland covers.
Yeah.
Like, I think Maryland plays a lot better at home. They got the vote of confidence this week with Mike Locksley returning for 2026. I don't think Michigan, like, for the amount of, if I've had somebody tell me this once, they've told me like 14 times, if not more, that the Gophers have a chance to be the worst XYZ record that they've ever seen. I'd tell you, go find joy somewhere. Well, if that's going to be said about them, I'm looking at a Michigan team that's 8-2, 6-1. And I think there's a reason that they're only 18th in the college football playoff rankings with that. Like, I think Bryce Underwood, and you saw it last week against Northwestern, if you can get pressure on Bryce Underwood or just make him think he's mm-hmm. not there yet, and this is a Michigan running back core that is banged up, like if you can let Malik Washington put up some points, which is going to be easier said than done, I could see this being a very interesting game in College Park.
All right. Nebraska travels to Happy Valley to take on Penn State at a 6 o'clock kick on the Big Turd Saturday. Now, the over-under is 44.5. I was surprised to see that Penn State is a 8.5-point favorite.
Holy cow.
Here you go. What do you think the get-in price is there, Ryan?
I'm going to guess it's senior day. I don't know. $13?
Cinco dinero.
Mm. A lot of good seats still available for Big Red traveling.
Yep.
But, wow, 8.5 points for a 1-6 Big Ten team against a Nebraska team that's 7-3. I know, like, our hot take on this podcast is that Nebraska is probably better as an offense with,
I thought they looked better. I'm curious to see if it sustains, but yeah, I liked what I saw.
Like Emmett Johnson, again, that is going to be one the Gophers whiffed on because he's about to be a Doak Walker finalist. Like that's fascinating to me. They must think that Penn State is better up front than what Nebraska is. Plus you have the Matt Rhule comes home to Penn State, little angle there. Boy, if Nebraska, I didn't expect that to be an 8.5 line. That's a lot of points.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number 21, Illinois is going to travel to Madison for Brett Bielema's kind of homecoming to Wisconsin for a 6:30 kick on BTN. For $8, you can go see it for yourself in person. The over under is 40.5, a 7.5-point favorite for Illinois.
What did you say the line was?
7.5 for Illinois.
For the number 21 team in the country, by the way. You are a Gopher fan in this game, and I think I'm going to be watching this game at a bar with a lot of you somewhere.
Yeah.
Which, if you want to know, if you, for some reason you want to watch a game with me, I'm going to be watching this game somewhere at a bar in Wrigleyville. Well, post it on Gopher Illustrated. Maybe I'll tweet it out. But you want this to be the most physical game you've seen all season. Not only is it Brett Bielema's return to Madison, you've got with Wisconsin, I think I saw one of their donors come out and say on I forget what Madison radio station it was, that they're now going to be in 2026. He's going to help front the money with some other donors to elevate Wisconsin to top six in football NIL in the Big Ten, which if that is true, I mean, that would be an eight-figure investment, and I'm not joking. To be top six, think about that. Like Ohio State, USC, Oregon, Michigan, Penn State are going to be in the top five. So if you're going to claim the sixth spot, we're still talking 10-something million dollars. So if that's what they're going to do to Luke Fickell's program here,
yeah,
that would be fascinating for me to watch.
Again, it's one thing to say it. It's one thing to do it is another one. What I'm more interested in, Ryan, is do you think that Brett takes the boys down to Ian's before the game?
What do you think? I'll let you call in the air. It's your call.
Probably not, but rest in peace, Mesa Pizza. Oh, man. All right. Washington travels to UCLA for some good old-fashioned Pac-12 after dark at a 9:30 kick on NBC. Washington is a 10.5-point favorite with the over-under being 51.5.
Washington gets to stay on the West Coast, which means they're actually going to show up in a road game, and now UCLA has looked very, very different from the team that showed up in the middle of the season there. They've now lost three consecutive games. Now, yeah, Ryan, they played the number one and the number two teams in the country within that, but you had Nebraska there at home, weren't able to get it done, and now your guy, Damon Williams, gets to run into them.
All right. Should be an interesting one in a baseball stadium yet again. I hope it's a good contest. I am obviously rooting for the Gophers. Ryan, I know that I picked against them, but I'm rooting for them. But if I if they have to lose, I just want to know that I will at least be one game better than you in the in picking the winners and losers. So I've got I win either way. That's the way I look at this.
I love that outlook on life for you. I love that tremendously for you on the west side of town.
All right. We want to thank you all for listening. Enjoy the trip if you make it. You know, stay warm. Enjoy the enjoy the festivities. And if you're staying at home, get that yard work done after the game. So thanks for listening and go first.